Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Hello, welcome to Signs of Life. I'm having some trouble here with our recordings, but my name is Janet Mayer, and I'm with the Forever Family Foundation, Signs of Life Radio, and I'm supposed to be here with Betty Kovich and Kimberly Saavedra, but I'm not sure if they're here yet.
Can you hear me?
You hear Betty?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful.
I'm so glad. Yes, Kimberly is not. She's working today. But, yes, I had difficulty getting on. And anyway, here we are. And the show has started, right? So let me introduce it, okay?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Sorry, everybody. But we, Janet and I, are here to welcome everyone to Forever Family Foundation's radio show. And this particular show is designed for you so that you can tell your own personal stories, and be able to listen to the stories of others. Many of us have had experience that definitely defy mainstream thinking. In fact, I'm thinking now, we're getting close to the majority, perhaps, but there are many of us, but we're not always sure who really is thinking the way we are, so we're a little bit cautious when it comes to telling other people our stories. Here, we don't have to be cautious. This is a place where people who are listening want to hear your stories because they've had experiences themselves, and hearing yours just helps them very much. We've had people tell us that very often, that it's so important to hear your stories. And as a matter of fact, we here are inspired by your stories. So I'm Betty Kovach. As you know, I'm late. Kim Saavedra of the Comlock Center is usually here, but is working, as I said. But I think she'll be here next month. So it's Janet Mayer and myself, and I will introduce Janet for those of you who don't know her. Janet Mayer is a Forever Family Foundation certified medium, and she is the author of Spirits, They Are Present. And that's actually what the show is about, isn't it? We are here to tell our stories of our experiences of the presence of spirits in our lives. And I am the author of Miracle of Death, There's Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That is Changing the World. So let's hear your stories and together think about the meaning and how we might integrate your stories, our stories, into our lives to create a more meaningful world. So let me give you the numbers. The first number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Or you can also call 323-744-4831. 323-744-4831. So, Janet, we're here after some difficulty.
Yeah, we are. That's wonderful. I'm out of town, so just kind of I have my little space here, and I actually we have a caller, so we could go ahead and take Victoria from Florida.
That's wonderful. I can't see that, so I'll leave the callers up to you, Janet. Okay.
Okay. Well, Victoria, are you there? Okay. Maybe Victoria. I don't know if she can hear us or not. Okay, well, maybe she'll call back. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But if not, we'll just fill the space with some interesting information. How's that?
That sounds good. And you always have some to begin with. What have you been thinking of lately in this vein?
Mainly, it's interesting because I was thinking about how all the. Oh, well, we have another caller, so I guess we'll take the next caller and We'll go from there. So we have Linza on. Linza, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, great.
Hi.
Oh, we'd lost you too.
Hi, Linza.
Hi.
Do you have a wonderful story to share with us about a sign or something spiritual that's happened for you?
Well, my brother-in-law passed recently, and he died like suddenly, and the whole family was like, it was unexpected, and the whole family is just like devastated because my husband's actually in late stage liver disease. And Joseph, the one who died, keeps coming to my husband in dreams. And my husband's like, he's thinking he's going to die soon because his brother keeps reaching out to him and hugging him in his dreams.
Ah,
so
you know,
I don't know, you know.
I think Joseph's wife, I
just got off the phone with her. I wanted her to get on the phone with me, but she's grieving terribly, and she had something that she had to do tonight. But she told me she had a Joseph came to her. She said last night she was dreaming. I mean, she was sitting in her kitchen. She dreamt she was sitting in her kitchen, and Joseph walked through the front door, and she said, Joseph, oh my God, I can't believe you're here. You've been gone. Let me catch you up on everything that's been going on. She said, and just as we sat down on the couch, they have four children. One of the children's alarm clocks went off and woke Kristen up. And so she never really got to talk to Joe, but she said it was a sign that she got since he passed in March.
Wow.
So,
I think that's
really believe in, you know, that people can reach you from the other side. A lot of people I know are skeptical, and, you know, I believe it. And I'm a Roman Catholic, and I know the Roman Catholics are like, they don't welcome, accept as much belief as I do in people being able to reach the other side through another human. You know what I mean? Not in a bad derogatory way. It's just, you know, the way
right.
they think.
Right. And
I don't
and I think
so.
I think it's a beautiful story that you shared. There's two parts that if it's okay, I'd like to kind of break down, because you talked about two separate things, and I think both of them are really beautiful. The first one is Joseph coming to his brother, and I think, you know, whether he's thinking that, you know, he's coming through to tell him he's going to pass soon, I kind of looked at it from the angle of, I think he's coming to him to give him a shared experience of comfort, to let him know that, hey, look, I'm here, you know, I'm still here. And no matter what happens, you might think that I've passed, but I still exist. And I want to let you know that. And I think that could really give him comfort, just knowing that one part that he's there for him, you know?
Yes. I mean, they were they're 18 months apart, and they were very, very close. And then Matt, my husband, was an alcoholic, and Joe, like, wasn't. And Joe had set boundaries, and my husband, Matthew, couldn't handle the boundaries. So he just looked at it like Joe was rejecting him. So he, in turn, rejected Joe, and then Joe died suddenly. And now, like, having dreams about him, like, almost all the time, and the same recurring dreams, you know. And he's like, I don't know, you know, what that means. I'm sorry, you know. He's so sad that he didn't, you know. It's just a sad story.
It's very comforting that his brother came through. That no matter what took place, no matter what happened, no matter what they were experiencing in their life, he still was able to come through and share that with his brother and say, look, I wanted to come here and give you comfort. You know, things might have not always been perfect or great. So, I mean, in that sense, I think that is a really beautiful, beautiful validation for your husband, because it's kind of like, look, you know, it's okay. That I want you to know it's okay. And so I think that is really, really beautiful. And I think as far as the second part with his wife and him coming through the front door, I mean, what do you think of when somebody comes through? They're home, they're welcoming, you know, they're coming in. And I think that is a really cool vision for her to get for that, you know, in a dream experience.
Yes.
The alarm went off to make sure she would remember that he came through and he came to her. And, you know, when you come through, it's home. He was coming home to her.
Yes.
He was coming home so she could experience that. So, I mean, you know, how beautiful is that? And how comforting that, you know, she doesn't have to be fearful. She doesn't have to worry and think, you know, oh my gosh, does he know what happened and blow? It's like, no, he's saying, hey, I'm home. So when he walked through the door, that was a welcoming sign of, you know, coming through. And I think that that's a really cool vision that came through for her. And I love the fact the alarm
went
off.
I signed myself and Kristen up for the week in January.
Oh, that's wonderful. They're wonderful.
With the Berger Family Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be there. We will be there on her birthday, and I'm hoping Joe comes through on her birthday for her.
That's
be wonderful.
Really beautiful.
Oh, wonderful.
I want to agree, I can just jump in here with Janet. I think that's such a beautiful thing that Joe came through and is embracing his brother. That wouldn't necessarily, in my mind, indicate that he's dying, but that he's saying, as Janet said, no matter what happened, I love you. We are close. It's whatever happened. This is who we are. And he's also validating there is another side, that he's in this mm-hmm. religion. So which would be comforting. Both are very comforting.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I agree. You know, my children, I have three daughters. My sister-in-law has four daughters. So there's seven girls between the two of us. And my husband was, you know, an active alcoholic for most of his life. He had a lot of trauma as a child. Mm-hmm. And his father was an alcoholic. So his father died. And my kids would lean on Joe because he knew what it was like to have an alcoholic father, because Joe didn't drink, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when he died, and now Matt's dying, it's like my kids are in this tailspin. One of them's getting married in September. And it's just like Joe is, you know, was very involved with my children. So it's like my children, I'm so worried about them. And they're not babies. They're in their 30s, you know, but I'm very worried about them.
And they know of the dreams that their father's having, that Joe's coming through. Do they know that?
Yes. Yep. I told them, and,
because
you know,
still
that
present,
made them happy.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Wow. I'm just so thrilled that you guys picked up the phone. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh, sure. Thanks for calling in.
You know, my mind is, my husband had surgery today. I mean, he's a real piece of work. He's hanging in there, but he takes a beating. So
well,
I've been up for
like
almost 24 hours. So I sound a little punchy. That's why.
Well, you sound very strong to us.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for that story. I think it's a beautiful story.
Oh, thank you so much.
It is. Thank you for calling in.
Yep. I'm staying on to listen to the rest of the show. thank you so much.
Okay.
Have a good night.
You
good
too. Goodbye.
Oh, well, Janet, that is a really significant story, isn't it, of someone coming through so beautifully.
It really isn't. And I like, you know, that, and here's something that I always find, and sometimes people don't connect the dots, but I love that she was sharing that, you know, his wife received a message, that her husband received a message. And, you know, people get all these messages. And a lot of times in a family, somebody will, you know, get, you know, a sign from someone, they may come through in some way, and somebody else will get it in a different way. And they're like, oh, I don't know, maybe I won't say anything. And then it's a missed opportunity to have a shared experience with, a relative, a sibling, a parent, and let people know that, you know, there's so much more going on. And if you start fitting all those pieces together, sometimes a whole nother story comes out of it. And that's what I always find that's very fascinating is, you know, sometimes you're only getting one piece of the puzzle. And then somebody else in the family gets a piece, and somebody else gets a piece, And before you know it, you're kind of like, wow, you know, yes, our loved one just painted a picture, which is really cool.
So it's so important to tell the stories, because piece by piece, you put together the puzzle. And as you say, you have a whole different story, a different picture, a different meaning.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think also that, you know, people, you know, it's a privilege to, you know, have any experience. And no matter which way it comes, if, you know, you see something, you dream it, you know, you hear it, however it comes through and whatever form it manifests, it's such a privilege. And you have to remind yourself that, especially when you're going through a really difficult day, you can kind of bring it up. And, you know, I always tell people to A, pay attention. And B, I always suggest that you write it down, you know, like when something comes through, write it down, date it, and even time it. Because sometimes, you know, it, like, for example, you know, Linda, who called in, she was saying her husband was dreaming multiple times, like having these visions, you know, very often. And I thought, you know, maybe if they keep track of it, they may get more out of it. They might start seeing a pattern or seeing something change. And I think that that's really important, too.
Well, I think I agree with you absolutely that patterns are key to meaning. You know, you begin to see patterns and you begin to then realize greater meanings out of what's happening. So I absolutely agree with you.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, you always, you know, you talk about symbology a lot, and I think that that's really important as well. And I think when we connect those pieces together, it starts to form not only like an emotional connection, but the storyline. And then I think helps so individually with anyone who's going through something really difficult to kind of, you know, start paying more attention and seeing more things around them happening. And I know a lot of people suggest that, you know, ask for a sign, ask for something specific. And I come both ways. I like that idea, but I also like people to stay open and pay attention, because sometimes you're so focused on that one thing that you're missing something else that's happening right in front of you. And so I like it to be open to say, okay, I'm going to ask for the sign, but I'm going to also stay open to see what comes through.
That's absolutely true, because you're looking for that particular sign you've asked for, and other things can just go right past you.
Right. So that's kind of been where I've been coming from. You have anything going, Betty?
Pardon me?
While we're waiting for another caller, do you have anything interesting?
Anything going on? You know, I was thinking a lot about the individual, our experiences, and how they affect the environment or the field itself. And, you know, we've been taught that whatever we think, you know, it's not going to influence anybody. You know, I can stop right there, because I think we have Melanie from,
I think, Nevada. Is that
Nevada?
What it is?
Is that it? Okay. Yeah. So I'll hold on to what I was thinking, and we'll hear from Melanie.
Okay. Hello.
Is that you, Melanie?
Hi.
Great. That's
yes,
you.
I'm here.
Tell us.
Hello. Sorry, it's a little choppy in the way we're communicating. It's a little choppy, so I'm going to pause and see what you're saying, and then I'll talk after.
Okay, we were just going to ask you if you had a story to share.
Yes, and I've called in before, and my cousin Tiffany has called in before, and she encouraged me with this, because I felt the woman who just called before, I got back emotionally to the beginning after my daughter crossed, but it's very difficult in the beginning to, like, make sense and really trust the connection. So I wish them strength in that. My daughter crossed. Now I'm in my fourth year. So her four-year crossiversary, I call the date that she died the crossiversary. Good. And every year since the first year, we had a party. But the last 2 years, I decided that I wanted to go to tropical islands, because she died in February, and where I live, it gets cold, and she and I loved adventure. So I went to Tahiti, and then I went to Fiji last year, but I always start planning this time of year for the upcoming trip, and I was starting to feel overwhelmed. So I tried something different, and again, I've been in this new communication for a while now with her, and So I decided I was going to be proactive. So I said to her, I said, Quincy, I'm overwhelmed, but I'm going to come up with 5 places. And then you get, because she gives me coins, like a lot of coins still to this day. I said to her, I said, why don't you vote? And whatever coins you give me for the day, I'll announce it in the morning. And then whatever coins I get that day, I'll put as your vote for that place. And we'll do 3 different votes for each place. So we'll do all 5 and then do it 3 times. So I was like, I don't know if this is going to work out. But the 5 places, the first one is an ayahuasca retreat. Now, I feel a little bit nervous about it. And I know Dr. Kovic, I hope I said your name right. I know you've done a lot of it because I read Merchants of Light. But to me, it's something new. So that was the first one. And then there was Costa Rica, the island of Palau, which is near the Philippines, Puerto Rico, and then Tonga, which is Pacific. So we did this. And it was astounding, the outcome. The ayahuasca retreat was a no-go because I only got 2 coins over all 3 tries. So either she's not ready or I'm not ready for it. Yeah. Costa Rica got 25. Palau got 83, Puerto Rico got 10, and Tonga got 60. So I don't know. I'm now doing a cost analysis to see which one is more affordable for me. But I just thought I'd share that because it was pretty astounding to me that it came through like this.
That is cool. Yeah. It's interesting with the ayahuasca that it... that was a no, and that you would think, well, maybe I'm not ready for it, or she's not ready for it. So, yeah, that's a possibility, you know. actually, I haven't worked with ayahuasca itself. I have done other sacred plants, but it was an interesting thing that after my son died, my husband and I were having visions with him, and I was going to go to South America, and he told his dad that I should not use ayahuasca. It was interesting that, I could have just thought, well, maybe that was just a fluke, but the two of them often had very profound experiences that later turned out to be true. And he said, you know, it's a beautiful and powerful plant, but in her particular case, she shouldn't use it. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say maybe for the next go around, if I do it this way again, I'll pick a different thing than ayahuasca because that may be a factor. Maybe it's not a good compatibility with me where something else might be.
That's an indication maybe from that, but maybe not. I have friends just around the corner, just beautiful friends who go to Costa Rica to do ayahuasca working with shamans, and they have just had incredible experiences, profound life-changing experiences. And for many people, I know that is true. I think that in all cases, you know, we just need to look at all possibilities. And that's what you were trying to do, you know. You might get a completely different answer next time.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I look at it a little differently. When you were saying that, you know, she said, you didn't get many for ayahuasca. And I'm like, okay, well, you had said ahead of time, you know, these are the 5 I'm picking. And what I would do is if you like the top 2 and you think you might want to sit and meditate on them, ask her to come through, maybe give you, you know, a feeling or a sense of something. Or if you picked them for a reason, so obviously you like them, but, you know, does one of them, you know, start maybe looking at some prices, looking at pictures, and maybe just seeing if one just feels, you know, has more energy to it. You know, I mean, sometimes, you know, she might just be sending it through a vibration and energy, and you're doing the coins. So you're being very, very logical, very analytical. And that's really, I mean, I think that's really cool. But at the same time, I think the next step, you know, add in the spiritual with it and say, okay, I'm going to be open. And if you don't want to say it's spiritual, you don't have to. It could be a vibration, you know, however you want to put it. And I would just think, you know, out of these 2, what are you feeling? Does something feel better? And if that one feels the best, look into that one, see if you can afford it. If not, look into the other. And if it doesn't feel right, you know, start over or do, you know, go somewhere else. But The thing is you're having communication in your own way with your daughter, which I think is beautiful, because that's really important, is we all experience grief in our own profound way, in our own level and wherever we're at. And I think it's really cool that you're doing it in your own way with her and finding, you know, finding this pathway that's leading you to joy, which is really what you want to do. You're going to experience joy with her. And so I think it's really amazing that if you end up with one of those two, maybe there's going to be some signs or something along the way, wherever you go, that you're going to be like, yes, I knew she'd be here with me. And I think that, you know, that's kind of beautiful in itself.
Well, I agree with you, Janet. I just think, yeah, the feeling and the depth of connecting on a feeling level is important too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We do have the first year in Tahiti. I thought I had told this story a while back, but that was the second year of her crossing. But my sister-in-law and I wanted to toast my daughter, but for some reason, the champagne was incredibly expensive, even though Tahiti's a French colony. But so I was at the store and I said to my daughter, I said, honey, I just need you to help me here. Can you please do that? And her name is Quincy. And that's when I found the bottle of wine called Quincy. So she shows for sure.
That's really great.
I love it too.
Yeah, I was just in tears. Just both of us were just so joyful. And of course, it was extremely raw then. And now, again, I'm kind of settling into our relationship. But I don't know. Maybe other people can tell. I just was trying to be proactive and communicative rather than just waiting for things to happen. And it was fun. And yeah. So anyway,
that's a good reminder.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, thank you, Melanie, for calling in. And that's a great reminder to remind people to be proactive, you know, to make that step. So thank you very much. And for sharing your stories. We love hearing them, you know.
Well, we love you. My cousin and I love you both, so all three of you very much. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. All right. Good night.
Bye. Thank you. Do we have Victoria? Am I seeing this right?
Yes, I think we have Victoria from Florida back.
Oh, good.
Victoria, are you there? Victoria, are you there?
No, that's too bad. She had to wait both times. That's too bad.
We just keep missing her. She'll call back. Maybe if, you know, time is right, it will happen, right?
Yeah, let's hope so. Yes.
Well, yeah, no, well, then we'll just, you know, I'll reiterate something about Melanie's story is that I really like the fact that she has been proactive, that, you know, like you said, you're moving through your grief. I really feel like, I hate to use the word saying it's different levels, but at different times you feel that, you know, and I think I believe it might've been her sister or sister-in-law that said that you mature with your relationship, which is exactly what happens. And I think that is really a beautiful way to continue on and experience it. And like now she's, you know, experiencing the joy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
What do we have? Melanie? Do you see that?
Melanie, are you still on? No. Okay. Well, we don't know what's going on with our little chat box here, but there's a lot happening. And it just so Victoria knows, if Victoria happens to get online and we're just talking, Betty and I, feel free to kind of jump in.
let us know you're there for sure.
It's like, I don't know if she can hear us or not, or, you know, if she has us on mute, you know, but that's okay. So, all right. Now, I think, Betty, you were going to be sharing a story with us while we were, you know, waiting for the next caller.
Yeah, I have been thinking a lot about how intricately and profoundly our bodies, our souls, our spirit is just interconnected to nature itself. And our ancestors knew that, but we destroyed that connection in our own minds. And I think it's coming back now because scientists know that there is a field that we're all in, and everything we think or do affects the field. So I was thinking about that again this morning, and then I received something from Heart Math Institute, and they were talking about the field, the global field environment, and why love matters. They were talking about how in physics today, it's been demonstrated that when and this is just, I think, so beautiful and very important, that when a system, let's say our whole system, is far from equilibrium, then small islands of coherence in a sea of chaos have the capacity to lift the system to a higher order. So in other words, we're living in, of course, a chaotic system right now.
Right.
And what we now know, thankfully, we know now that if there's just a small group of people, let's put it that way, can meditate and focus on the heart and love and send it then to others. Let's say in our case, in the radio show, we send it to each other, to Don, to all the listeners, and to all of the ones who call in, that there then becomes a coherent field among us. And that if we do that, then in many cases and a little bit larger groups, whatever, just a few people can absolutely make a difference when we're in a chaotic state, as we are now. So it should give us courage to know that, yes, if I sit down and meditate and I really feel love and compassion and let that connect me to others, that we are making a difference.
Right.
I mean, a profound difference in the actual field that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
This is what will change the world, really, that kind of thing, that frequency that we feel within us.
Right. I agree, Betty. And I'm going to say something with that as well. But I believe we might have Victoria back online.
Oh, I just saw that. Yeah, great. Victoria?
Victoria, are you with us?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Oh, thank heavens you're here.
Oh, wow. For a minute, I thought maybe somebody doesn't want me to share my story.
No, I think they do. You're back on, so that's good. So what story would you like to share with us?
It's about my daughter, and actually the only reason I'm calling in and sharing it because she's been so intense with me today, and I wasn't sure why, but I think she does want me to share the story, so I just want to share it.
Okay, please do.
Okay, so when my daughter passed, and I was cleaning out her room, there was like a neat stack of mediumship books that she left for me, I think. And so I started looking into mediumship and, that kind of thing. And at some point, somewhere, as I started researching, I read the books that she left for me, and then I started looking at other books, and then through another book, I found something called the Hoffman. And so it's just something that talks about, they teach you about self-negative love and that kind of thing. And then so I applied for it. I felt like she sent it to me to help me heal because she has been through my healing journey. And she's just been helping me so much to, get through this,
Mm-hmm.
And so usually there's like a long waiting list, and it's expensive. And so I applied for it as soon as I saw it in the book because I felt like she wanted me to do that. And so within a couple of weeks, I got a scholarship for it. And I also got into the program that would start like two weeks since from the day that I applied. On the day that I got a call to get accepted into the program, it was on her birthday. I was getting a tattoo in the parlor shop, and then the mic started flickering and stuff like that. And then I did the call, so I didn't know who was calling. So I felt like I had to pick up the phone, and it was that. They were telling me you were accepted, and you got a scholarship, and blah blah blah. So I did that. When I went to the program, there was a class where my teacher was wearing like pants that had candy canes on them and her socks. I don't know, she was dressed as an elf. And that sounds weird, but whatever. They go through a lot of stuff. It's a good program. But anyway, so I was, you know, I had like a little breakdown and I left the class. And then we had a really deep conversation, you know, because it's like this program is about looking for patterns, right? And how you act in general and whatnot. But I had to tell her, I said, I just miss my daughter, like patterns that I learned from my parents or whatever. I just miss my daughter. Like, and so on the way back into class, she said, whatever message you hear, it's going to be from your daughter. So we're all sitting in class. There's like 30 people, everybody taking their turn to hear a message. It was my turn. I sat there, I closed my eyes, you know, waiting for the message. And I heard, I love you. But it didn't, I don't know, it just sounded weird, right? So I later asked my teacher, I'm like, did anybody say anything while I was waiting for the message? She said, no. That's okay, whatever, I let it go. After I finished the program, I went to Omega, and there was like a group mediumship meeting. There was over 300 people. It's one of the Forever Life medium woman. I can't remember her name right now. It's a bit emotional. And so there was an exercise where she gave out, you know, those index cards, and she was like, hey, whatever comes to you, just draw it, right? And then they took those cards, they shuffled them around, and I stepped out while they were shuffling them. I was with my sister because she also lost her nephew. We both lost our children like just a couple of days apart. But for me, it was like on the same day because I found out on the same day. So it's like, it's super emotional. She took both cards, and one of the cards was some stars and clouds and things like that. And the other one was an elf's hat, a candy cane, and it said Christmas and whatever, but I didn't think anything of it. When I got home, I realized, and so I put everything in the bag, and my sister thought that the candy cane and whatever picture was for her. So we switched. When we got into the car and we packed up, I put her stuff in her bag, my stuff in my bag. When I got there, I emptied out my bag, and the first thing that fell out was this card with the Christmas hat and the candy cane and the elf. It actually said elf on it. And so it hit me right there. Like, that was the message. It wasn't the message that day of I love you, even though I'm sure she told me she loves me. Just out of, you know, 300 people and whatever, I got that card. For me, I didn't think anything of it. I didn't make the connection until I got home. And it just hit me like that was confirmation for me.
Wow.
Do you guys hear anything? Oh, I thought I lost you again.
Some of what you said, it didn't come through on the phone, on you know, through the speaker. So I missed a little bit of it. But what I have from that is that she did come through. She gave you a message that is, and did you, is this, you switched with your sister? Is that what I heard? Did you switch something with your sister? Card.
Well, no, so we both got cards, but I stepped out while they were passing the cards around. So she thought the Christmas card was hers and the moon and stars were mine. And so the one we packed away, she took her stuff, I took mine. But when we got home, I ended up with her card.
Ah, but it was really your card, right?
Yeah.
It
all clicked right there.
Right, and it's really interesting the way that happened. And that's what I find very fascinating about the story is that you're thinking one thing, but it ends up actually being the opposite, which is actually the correct thing. And so then you received your sign and your sister received her sign. And at first it seemed like it was hers, but it was actually for you. And so I think
at first it seemed like it made no sense and we were kind of disappointed. And when I got home, I was like, oh my God, like it all clicked.
Right. And that's what's because really fascinating. Yeah. That's what's fascinating about that is how, you know, a lot of times we think it's not a sign or we think it isn't something. And then all of a sudden it was like the light bulb went off and you received it. And it just, it kind of warmed your heart and also can shake you up at the same time. But she was there with you. And I do feel like she probably helped direct you there. And it might have been because she wanted to have more of a connection with you on a just, you know, on a higher level. And it was a good way for her to open that door for you so that you two can continue to have that relationship. And, you know, I could tell, I mean, as you're speaking and going through, you know, there's a lot of grief there and you have to take it slow and you have to go at your pace. And I think that, you know, it was really beautiful the way it all happened, even though it might have seemed like it got a little mixed up. It actually happened the way it was supposed to, which was, you know, beautiful in the end. And I think that I mean, she's definitely there with you and she's giving you a number of signs, which I think is, you know, kind of amazing, isn't it? When it happens and you just kind of sit there and you think, wow, how is this possible? And yet it happened. I don't know.
Yeah, and not only that, it happened over a period of a couple of months. Or 1 month, or like it wasn't just
right.
Like here's the sign. Even though I had the sign, like she sent me a dog, right? And I've been telling people she sent him to me because she knows that I just, you know, I don't know. I just needed him to like wake up in the morning and do what I have to do, you know. And like I feel like people didn't believe me, but when I went to this meeting ship, I don't know what you call it, expo or something. The mediumship said, like, whoever you're sitting next to, there's a reason for it. And so when we turned around to, like, meet and greet each other, the person next to me told me my friend sent me a dog. And I was like, oh, my God. Everybody thought it was crazy, you know? And it's like, I don't know, that was like, so touching.
Well, and you know, and don't let anyone take that away from you. If you, you know, people are like, oh, I don't believe you. You know what? Let them think what they want. That's on them. That's not you. And that's not your experience. It's hard to share an experience with someone and get them to understand and feel exactly what you experienced because it's not their experience. It's your experience. So, you know, no matter who you tell and if somebody doesn't get it, it's okay. Like you said, it's okay. And just also one more thing is you were mentioning something that you heard your daughter say, I love you. And you're like, oh, maybe not. And I'm like, no, that's, you did hear it. If you heard it, you heard it. And it's interesting because, you know, I have done some EVP work where, you know, you hear different words come through and it doesn't exactly sound exactly like that person. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. So definitely take that as definitely have that basic understanding of hearing spirit. So if you heard her come through, to me, that tells me you're also aware that that can happen again because it can, and you'll be able to hear it. So remember that. Like, don't try to force it and like say, I'm listening. Are you sending me anything? Just go on about it. You know, talk to her, see if anything comes through. And if you hear it, I would just kind of start tracking it, write it down. You know, like I said, like in a journal or paper, whatever, on the computer and date it and time it and just see, you know, that maybe there's a certain time of day that you're more open to hearing her come through. You know, maybe it could be, you know, in the afternoon or maybe it's in the evening or in the morning, you know, whatever it may be. Then you might be like, okay, maybe I'll start meditating and just be open if you want to come through and maybe some words will come through that way. It's, you know, there's so many ways and avenues to be open to your loved ones. And, you know, I feel like for your daughter to come through and give you that, and even if you kind of question it and think, did I really hear that? I mean, obviously you heard it because you thought it. So it was right there, which means she is coming through with a message to you, and take that, hold on to it. You know, it's like I said, it's a privilege to receive that and be open for next time and let her know, hey, I'm pretty sure I did hear you. I'm almost thinking I'm a little surprised. I can't believe I heard it. But if you want to try it again, I'm going to try to be open and stay open and see what comes through and try and, you know, just give that a shot too. Okay.
Yeah. I heard it so loud and clear that it felt like it was in the room, that it wasn't like inside or, you know, you, do you understand? It was just like it came from like out, like my external. I heard it externally, like.
Right, right. And that's great.
Like, yeah.
That's pretty strong. I wanted to say just a word about people who say they don't believe it or they can't. You know, they don't have the experience of feeling it. I think that's what you had when you experience things with your daughter, that you feel it. The person you're telling it to doesn't have that. And the way that we understand if we don't have the feeling of that particular experience is that we have other experiences we've had and we know it can happen. But if people haven't, they just can't relate to it because they don't have that inner feeling connecting them to the information.
Right. That's totally true, Betty. And that's the thing is that, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was saying, thank you for hearing me out. I felt Amaya so strong today, and so I just like had to keep calling. I don't know why we got disconnected. I was like, does she want me not to share it now? Like, did she change her mind? But like, I don't know. I just have to.
Well, you know what? You know what I think, Victoria? I think third time is a charm, and that's what she did.
That's good. Yeah.
So thank you for calling in. We really appreciate it, and we really are glad. You know, we love sharing. We love that you share stories. Everybody who calls in. Because, you know, the listeners, they take pieces from every story, just like we do. You can always learn something new or see something in a new way. And, you know, and even like for you to just, you know, share it and speak out loud about it. Sometimes that brings comfort as well, you know?
For sure. I think I have to because I don't think anybody believes me when I tell them the story. And so, I don't know, maybe...
Don't worry about that.
Right. Don't worry about what other people think. You just share your story with, and you know, find that group of people too that, you know, like here, where you can listen and share stories. Yeah. And it's comforting because everybody knows we've all had these experiences and we love hearing, not love hearing about, you know, someone passing, but love hearing about the signs, you know, the signs that they're sharing with us. And I think that's important. And I think that's, you know, we need to change that narrative and you're helping by doing it. So, you know, we appreciate you calling in just like all of our other callers today.
Yeah. And so I think it's not that I just want to say the one last thing. It's not that, and maybe that will help others. It's not that I care about what other people think, but it does, you know, I'm a human being. It does put a little doubt in your mind when people are so negative towards the experience that you're having. So that's the last thing I want to say and share with you.
No, I think that's very important. And it's just so true. It's that even though we know that they can't know or we're not going to listen to them, it still hurts us. It still puts a damper on the frequency, you might say.
Yeah, and like a doubt in your mind, like, wait, did I really, did this really happen? Or is
that's exactly what we do.
Imagining this stuff, you know? Yeah. All right, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry that I called in so many times.
No.
I really appreciate it.
We're glad you called.
Yeah.
And Janet, I want to respond to you about that. You really are correct when you say we're in the process of changing the narrative. You know that we're going to be telling these stories sometimes when they do not defy a common thinking, you know, or what people believe is true. We are changing the narrative. And that's why it's so important to tell our stories, is to share these stories so they become stronger and we become stronger. And yes, we're hurt when we see that someone just negates it and can't possibly believe it, but when we stand strong in our own experience and get through that hurt and that sort of negative feeling, that we know that it's what we've experienced and how important it is to change this narrative that has been strong for more than 2,000 years and especially strong in the last 1,000 years and 400 years, even more so, is that there's nothing out there and you're just, you know, were you hallucinating or something? So we are up against very negative frequencies that have been let loose for a very long time. And so we are telling our narratives and we're holding strong with the frequency of our experience.
Well, I agree. And I think too, you know, I think when we're, you know, mindful of those experiences and we, you know, when we have them, we pay attention to that, which of course I always say, and, you know, remember that everyone's grief does look differently and everyone does have their own unique experience. And a lot of times people will be like, oh, I had that too. Or, oh, I had that. Well, yeah, they may have had, they might have had something similar.
Similar, but, yeah, but not the same. Yeah.
Right. Your own experience is, it's so emotional. And how can you explain that emotional that's coming through you to someone else? You can do it to a certain extent, but you can't always, you know, you can't always share it in a way that they'll understand because they might not feel it as strongly because everybody's emotions are differently. And so that's really important. And I think, you know, like you were saying, with changing the narrative, we have to, you know, bring people into that and remind people, because it's not like, you know, we weren't young and when we went to school, you know, they didn't teach us this and say, oh, well, you know, when your loved ones pass, this is what you do. It's like, we just all, you know, had these whole different, you know, scenarios of what was going to happen. So now it's kind of like, okay, as I've, you know, gone through the years and I've had all these experiences and I couldn't understand what I was being taught to what was actually happening in my life. And so it was kind of trying to bring it together and try to understand it. And finally, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going with it. No matter what how I was raised, what I was told, I see what's happening around me. I see what's going on with me. And this is what I have to do. And I think that when you kind of rewire yourself from, you know, the thinking of how you were raised and what you're supposed to believe or what you need to believe and actually experience what is actually happening around you and what is actually you are experiencing, I think that makes a difference. And I think there's a lot of value in those moments. And we need to remind ourselves that when we have those moments to, you know, find the value of it and say, okay, you know what? I'm not crazy. I know this is going on. I know I experienced this. I know my loved one came through. I know I'm, you know, doing this. And it's interesting because, you know, there's some people that call in that are having constant relationships, some that they come here and, you know, here and again, whenever I feel like, you know, maybe they just need it at this moment. Maybe, you know, that person is doing something differently, obviously. And I think that that's what's so beautiful is that we all have our own unique experience.
We do. And I would like to just respond to the person who was a Roman Catholic and that, and she said that the church, you know, has a little difficulty with those kinds of experiences. And that has been historically true. And that's a kind of political thing rather than a spiritual response, because the church was very afraid of the people who were actually having experiences, the mystics and people who were part of the mystery schools where people actually experience the other world. And it scared them. I think they didn't know, didn't understand, but they also were afraid of these very powerful visionaries and mystics. And so they made them the heretics. And that's kind of how we were left in the Roman Church without any real confirmation or validation of our visions. But that's more political than spiritual. There are many, many people within the Catholic Church who definitely are visionaries today. So, but I think we have to just kind of excuse the church in the moment and know that there were other reasons why they took that position.
Right. That's true. That's a good point, because, you know, you can look at it a lot of different ways. I do like that, Betty. I think that's a good idea. And I think that, you know, it also can give people a basis, but it doesn't have to be like, it is just black and white. There's, you know, a lot of gray in between with that. So that makes a difference, you know, when you look at it from that angle.
Yes, yes.
That's well, great.
It looks like it's almost time, Janet.
Yeah, I think we only have a couple minutes left. So I guess we could probably end with just reminding everybody to allow yourself to be open to any experiences and, you know, say thank you. You know, I mean, we always say when, you know, you say thank you, you know, or if they drop by, you know, let them know they can come back anytime. That's always a, you know, good way to open. But I'll go ahead and I will end with our Mahayama prayer.
Okay.
You're okay with that, Betty?
Yes, it's wonderful.
Okay, here we go. May all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe, and may we all together complete the spiritual journey. So that's it. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Janet.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.